The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, this morning's sermon is for the nitpickers among you. You may have noticed a little contradiction in the details in our readings this morning. And it has to do with the names. Now, Matthew clearly wants us to see that what is happening in that story with Joseph and the angel is a fulfillment of Isaiah's vision, what we read as the first reading. And Isaiah saw a child named Emmanuel, which means God is with us. But the angel tells him to name his son Jesus, which means the Lord saves. And so the nitpicker might wonder, did Isaiah maybe hear the Lord wrong? Did the angel get the wrong memo? Did he look in the wrong distribution box before he came down to earth? Yeah, what's going on? Well, hold on to that thought for a minute, because we're going to get back to it. But before we return there, we've got to look at one other little bit that's buried in the details here. And something that would have been more obvious if we were reading out of the old King James Version, with all the these and the thous and the fancy language. See, right at the moment where the angel shows up in Joseph's dream to tell him, no, don't do what you were planning to do, there's a little Greek word that should be translated, behold. Now, that sounds kind of old-fashioned, doesn't it? I mean, we don't go around to each other saying, hey, behold. That's not how we speak. And it's not really necessary for the whole story, so our modern English translation just didn't put it in there. Well, that same little Greek word is in there where Matthew tells us about the prophecy, but he kind of dulls it down a little bit. Instead of saying behold, he just says look. And, you know, that modern English translation, it kind of works. Look, a virgin will conceive. But it misses some of the punch of that out-of-the-ordinary, old-fashioned, behold! Behold, an angel showed up and gave Joseph marriage advice. I mean, we could all use that at some point, right? Behold, wow! Behold, a virgin will conceive. See, behold tells you something unexpected is coming. Behold means, whoa, stop, check this out. Because this is not how the world usually works. And see, that interruption there, that break in the ordinary routine, that behold, is at the very heart of the incredible good news that is coming to us with Christmas. See, in our fallen world, one part of the routine, one part of the natural order of things that a behold interrupts. The natural order is that sin begets sin. What I mean is something like this. If you get mugged, you're probably going to start being a lot more suspicious of strangers, even completely innocent ones. If one candidate in an election starts the mudslinging, oh, you just know that the other one is going to pick it up real fast. We see how violence leads to retribution. When we're lied to enough, not that the American people are ever lied to these days, right? Hey, it makes us cynical, just like that. When it looks like everybody is cheating on their taxes, or every bank out there is using some dodgy mortgage investment scheme, it's just so much easier. Just go with the flow and do what everyone else is doing. Evil multiplies. And our hearts get hardened. Now, I'm not condemning anyone here. This is how the world works. But here's the thing. This way that the world just works is killing us. It's deadly. Our world gets caught in all these cycles of violence leading to revenge, leading to more violence. In our personal lives, we see it where anger sparks more anger. Lies lead to greater distrust. Selfishness, commercialism kill the spirit of compassion. We see it in families, where destructive patterns keep people stuck and get handed down from one generation to the next. Cities where poverty has become an inescapable trap. Parts of the world where war is just a way, is a fact of life. It's how it always is. And hovering over all of this has got to be the question, what's God going to do about this? Because we try to avoid those parts of the Bible, but we know it says, God will not be mocked. And when we have tied ourselves and each other in knots that are strangling our humanity, God is going to act. That's how the world works. And so, in this natural order of things, we desperately need that behold, that interruption of the Christ child's coming. He will save his people from their sins, the angel says. Did you catch that? Not judge, not punish, not pour out wrath, but save. Rescue. Jesus is God's way of dealing with our brokenness and our sin. Now let's get back to the names here. Remember before we said that Isaiah called the child God with us, but the angel said to name him the Lord saves? Well, see, right there in that little detail is an amazing truth. The way that God saves us from our sins is by drawing near to us and coming alongside us into our world. Jesus was born to put himself right in the middle of all our world's cycles of greed and violence and fear and all of that. But instead of just letting sin lead to more sin, Jesus breaks the chain. On the cross, in a transaction that we can't fully wrap our minds around, Jesus somehow absorbs the full impact of humanity's sin. All the envy, all the bitterness, all the hate and the fear and the selfishness, it all comes crashing down on him. And in love, he refuses to strike back. He doesn't lash out, even though we know he would be completely justified in condemning everyone involved with his crucifixion. But he doesn't. No, the way that Jesus responds is the only way that won't just keep multiplying the pain and the suffering. The very Son of God allows himself to be crushed by the sin that would destroy us. And in his mercy, he takes the full weight that we can't handle. He accepts all the suffering. And in return, all he gives back is forgiveness. And then, when the Father raises him up out of the tomb, Jesus opens up a new way of living for us. See, think about this. What if, let's just take something small, what if when we were treated with rudeness, instead of getting even, we decided to come back with kindness, figuring that they're probably fighting a harder battle than we are? Or what if a child raised in a house with no good role models found a church community that provided love and support and examples for them to follow? What if there were a place where the color of your skin truly didn't matter? What if the poor weren't treated like problems, but were treated with generosity and dignity and respect? What if all that happened? I think people might just start saying, "Behold," again. As they say, "Behold," maybe God has shown up. And see, that's what Jesus does. He comes to us and makes it possible for us to respond to all the brokenness around us, not with just more of the same, but with more of the goodness that God provides. See, when God comes to us with mercy, we are set free. Sin and selfishness and fear don't have to control us anymore. You can find peace and strength and love and joy all in Jesus. So, when life gets uncertain for you, is thrown in all sorts of chaos, and all you want to do is just run scared and hide, stop. Stop and remember who stands right alongside you. And draw courage from him. When you do stumble and fall, and all of us will, let's be honest, don't feel like you have to get defensive. Don't be ashamed. Don't make things worse by trying to hide it all. Just know that you are loved unconditionally by Jesus. Believe his word of forgiveness and find peace with him and a second chance. When you're faced with conflict, a fight, and the emotions are running high, look to Christ. Let his love govern how you're going to respond. See, the gift of Christmas is not just a ticket to go and be with God when we die. Now, Christmas is the gift of God with us now to save us from sin. In Jesus, you have forgiveness for all the ways that you have gone wrong. And He is with you even now to give you a new way of living in our broken world. So trust in Him. Follow Him. And the world may just have to get used to saying behold again as they behold that yes, God has come in Jesus to save us and the world. Amen.